Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Most Americans agree that our political process is either entirely broken or in need of some major repairs. There have been rumblings for years, especially among conservatives, but with the quote-unquote resurrection, shall we say, of the Tea Party, the dissatisfaction has moved beyond rumblings to loud demands for change in how politics are done in the country, not only in Washington, D.C. and state capitals, but also on the county and local levels. The Pennsylvania Tea Party has a plan, and next month is going to bring in two of the most influential and successful grassroots organizers in the country. One of them is my guest today. Warren Edstrom is founder and coordinator of the Knox County, Ohio 912 Project Organization and co-founder of the VoicesOfAmerica.org, along with Peter Wolf of Cincinnati, Ohio. Warren is also a board member of Ohio Liberty Council, which is a collaboration of over 75 organizations focused on enabling all liberty-minded organizations in Ohio. And thanks, Warren, for being with us and for not just focusing on Ohio.
Thank you.
Because, you know, Ohio is one of 50 states in need of repair, shall we say.
Yes.
And you are the co-founder of Voices of America. And just what is Voices of America?
Well, Pete and I were at a meeting of Tea Party leaders in Ohio, and this was in 2009. I believe it was in the summer of 2009. And there had been some Tea Party rallies, some pretty good-sized Tea Party rallies. And Pete looked at me and he said, you know, these rallies are pretty good. I said, but what do you do next?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, rallies aren't going to change anything.
Right.
Early on, people thought, well, if we make enough noise, maybe they'll do the right thing. Didn't work.
Exactly. And healthcare bill is a perfect example.
Yeah. So I said to Pete, you have to organize your precincts. You know, all politics is local.
Local.
And
I don't think people fully realize that.
They don't. Everybody gets elected at the precinct level. I don't care whether you're the president, whether you're the mayor, whether you're the city councilman, mm-hmm. whether you're the governor.
Yeah.
Everybody gets elected at the precinct level. Everybody votes in their precinct. So the commonly held thought is, and the Democrats have been a little much better at this than the Republicans, the commonly held thought is that as long as you can control your precinct and get out your vote in the precinct, if you can get your candidate elected in your precinct and people in other precincts do the same, it's just a numbers game. It's
right,
just
exactly.
Multiple. And that way you can control the political discourse.
Exactly what you're saying is true, because if there's a good precinct leader, that translates into a good, of course, a precinct, at least in Pennsylvania, a precinct. Each party has two, a male and female, in each party, in each precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And then those individuals elect the county chair.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then we have the state committee people who were elected. And they represent that county in Harrisburg, where the state Republican Party has their meetings,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah, absolutely. If we can control the precinct, then we can control the entire political process, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Wow. That's very easy to say.
Yeah, and people get really frustrated because they see what's happening in Washington.
Right.
And they feel powerless.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, we sent them there,
mm-hmm.
and we can take them back from there.
Yeah, and they've forgotten that. Those guys in D.C. and many of the guys in Harrisburg, in our case, and in Columbus, in your case, have forgotten that.
Yes, that's true.
So this is neat. And I agree. You know, as I attended those rallies, and I attended a lot of the rallies, and I went to Washington for the big one on, what was it, 2009?
Yes.
One of the 500 that were there, according to CNN or whoever. And, you know, town hall meetings, and when Senator Spector especially was in the area, all that kind of stuff back in 2009. And very frustrating. You get enthused. You get, yeah, we're going to make a difference. But then they go and they vote the way that you didn't want them to vote. And it's extremely frustrating, especially here in Pennsylvania, for the conservatives when our state Republican Party kept endorsing Arlen Spector.
Mm-hmm.
To run for re-election.
But that's one of the things that we found out the deeper we got into the process, was the candidates don't feel like the people get them elected. They feel like it's the party that gets them elected,
yeah.
because the party is the one who puts up the money and buys the airtime, the TV time, this kind of stuff. Their loyalty is more to their party than it is to the Constitution of the American people.
And that's neat, because I read recently that George Washington, our first president, warned against political parties for that very reason, because he envisioned that they would become more loyal to their party than to the well-being of the nation.
Yes, he did. He definitely warned against political parties, and unfortunately, we haven't
heeded that warning.
We haven't heeded that warning.
And what he foretold is coming true.
Yes.
And it's frightening. You know, we see what's happening now. We see how bad it is. And definitely the rumblings have become an outcry for change. But it didn't just happen in 2008 or even 2000. When did all this process, this brokenness begin? Can you kind of pinpoint a time?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint a time because it's like cooking the frog. It's been a little bit at a time. You know, a year after the Constitution was signed, people started whittling away at it.
Wow.
And they've been whittling away at it ever since. I mean, one of the major things that happened was back in, I think it was 1913, when the senators stopped being elected by their state legislatures and started being elected by the people. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution said that the senators represented the states, not the people.
Right.
Obamacare never would have been passed if that would have been left alone, because no state senator would have voted for an Obamacare law that was going to bankrupt every state's Medicaid system.
That's an excellent point, because look at how many states, including our Governor Corbett, when he was the Attorney General, but he signed onto a lawsuit, and over half the states have entered into lawsuits against Obamacare.
Yes.
So that's an excellent point. So basically, when senators no longer were appointed or chosen by the state government, but it was fell into the hands of the people to be voted in, that's kind of was a major chink out of the foundation of our political process. Okay.
Yep, it was. It took us away from a Republican toward a democracy.
Okay. Explain the difference between the two, because a lot of people think we live in a democracy, but we don't.
We elect our people in a democratic process. In other words, we vote for them. A republic is a country that's governed by law, not by the vote of the people. In a democracy, if you can get 51% of the people to agree, murder is okay. Murder is okay.
No.
Because they can change the law. In a republic, the law is set up ahead of time, and the Constitution is our law. The law was set up ahead of time, and society has to adhere to the law, not to the whims of the people. One of our founding fathers said that a democracy was mob rule, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the tyranny of the masses.
Because you never knew. You kind of see that happening now as, you know, as quote-unquote democracy is pushed more on us, and people don't understand the difference between a representative republic and a democracy.
Democracies, every democracy that we've ever had has decayed into anarchy and ended up in dictatorship. The problem with democracy is, and we're seeing this happen today, once the people that are taking from the government outnumber the people that are giving to the government, they can vote themselves their own increase in
wealth. Right, because they'll vote for the person or the party who will continue sending them that monthly check.
Yeah, this is why Rome collapsed. Rome was a republic. A lot of the concepts that most republics live by started in Rome, and Rome turned into a democracy gradually, and then it collapsed when there were so many people taking and not enough people giving, and it collapsed into anarchy, and then the Caesars came about.
Yeah, because we have, okay, this was prior to the Caesars. I didn't know the history. Because what is it now, 49% of Americans do not pay income tax? Is that what the percentage is?
That's correct.
Wow.
And many more than that are taking some form of government payment.
So people know what's wrong. I don't think a lot of them fully understand what's wrong, and they definitely don't understand how to fix it. And the Tea Party has been very, very vocal since, what, April 2009, beginning of 2009?
Mm-hmm. Started on April 15th, 2009.
Yeah, very vocal in this. And like you said, they have learned that rallies are good, but we have to move beyond the rallies.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning, it's a learning process, because we've been so complacent as a nation that we have forgotten how the process really works, I believe.
Yes, we have. And we've gotten disconnected. We think if we vote for the party candidate, that's going to fix things.
Oh, yeah.
People say anything to me about that, about party. I point out to them, in the last 15 years, both the Republican and the Democratic Party have controlled the entire government, the entire federal government, for at least 6 years.
Yeah.
And if either one of them was going to fix it, why is it still broke?
Yeah, exactly.
The two political parties are basically, well, I like to say that we don't really have a two-party system. People talk a third party. I say, well, it's not really a third party. I believe in a two-party system. I wish we had one. We have two parties that represent the same objectives.
Two different names, but their goal is the same, and that's to stay in office. That's what I think their goal is. What do you think their goal is?
You're right. It's to stay in office, maintain power, because where there's power, there's money. And they play good cop, bad cop with the electorate, and they blame each other. And this is why they fight the Tea Party so bad. The Republicans don't like the Tea Party because they're afraid we'll start to co-opt their base, because basically they're not conservative.
Right, because the Republicans are supposed to be conservative, but like you said, they're not.
A lot of their leaders take them down the wrong path. And the Democrats hate us because they see us as stronger than the Republican Party. That's why they are constantly calling us names and trying to get people to be afraid of the Tea Party. All the Tea Party wants to do is get the country back to the Constitution.
Exactly. And I know there was, I don't know when this was, I read this, you know, because the Tea Party is always saying we want our country back, we want to take our country back. But there was some commentator who made some kind of a snide comment, like, take the country back from whom, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get it. Again, it's a power thing for them, and they want their liberals to stay in power. Then again, I think it has a lot to do with the worldview too, and how they view the world and what they want to do through the parties, or what the parties want to do, you know, because the party's made up of people.
Sometime in the 1960s, the Democratic Party figured out the way we can control and stay in power is to promote victim groups.
Okay.
And they're always reaching out to find some group that they can call victims and side with them and promote them as victims. The problem with that philosophy, and it works, the problem with that philosophy is that once your victim group is voting for you, you can never fix the problem. Because if you do, you might lose them as a voting block.
Because they're no longer victims.
Yes. Once you're no longer a victim, you're gone. They have to institutionalize the victimhood in order to keep them in the fold.
Oh, wow. And you see that. That answers a lot of questions right there.
I mean, if the Democratic Party were going to, and I wouldn't say Democratic Party, if the progressives were going to, quote-unquote, fix the problem of race in this country,
mm-hmm.
Why do we still have so many problems with race in this country?
Yeah.
They had 40 years to implement all their plans, which they did, and cost trillions and trillions of dollars. I was going to high school in the 50s, and when I went to high school, and I went to junior high school that was 85% black.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so...
Even in the 50s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in doing so, I found out that in the black community, there was doctors and there was lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and this kind of stuff. I mean, it was a broad spectrum, a fairly religious organization. The blacks were very religious.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were Baptist. They had a very tight family group. Their illegitimate birth rate was very close to the whites, and it was low.
Right.
After the Great Society.
The Great Society.
And all of the welfare, the liberals basically destroyed the black family.
Yeah. Oh, I agree 100%. I've heard a lot of black leaders say that, too. Conservative black leaders.
Yeah. Right.
Because sometimes you see black leaders in the pockets of progressives.
Yes,
and blaming the whites.
It's kind of strange, and it's ironic to me. When you talk to some leaders in the black community, they will, if you say something about white robes and burning crosses, they think Republican.
Well, thanks to the Democrats and their promotion of that kind of saying the Republicans are thinking along the same lines as the KKK.
Yeah, when in fact, when I was a child, the KKK was all Democrat.
I know, I've heard that. Robert Byrd was a Democrat, and he was a KKK kingpin, whatever they call
him. Yeah, he was a grand wizard in West Virginia.
Yeah, the history's been so twisted. So we as concerned citizens, Tea Party members with 9-12 groups, whatever, what can we do? So what is it that you and Peter have come up with as far as the plan?
What we do is we go around and we train people on how to organize at the precinct level. We go out and we show people statistically how they can win, how to accomplish that win, how to organize the counties and the precincts, and you can take that organizational structure and and then expand it into the state and the nation.
Sounds easy.
We show you, like in a primary, you'll get approximately 20-30% of the voters will turn out.
Oh, wow, 20-30%.
In the primary.
In the primary. Because most people don't consider it important.
Correct, and that's really the place where you can have the most impact.
Absolutely.
Because so few people vote.
Absolutely. And that's what I've got friends who are Democrat, and most of them don't vote in the primary.
No.
And I say, but you need, to begin with, you need to change parties, but, you know, I tell them that very same thing. The primary is really more important or more influential than the general election because you have more of an impact in
yes.
the primary of choosing who is on the ticket in the general election, who's on
yeah.
the ballot.
We teach people how to go to the Board of Elections and get the names of all the voters, their addresses, how to print out a walking list
okay.
so that you can knock door to door and support a candidate or a cause, an
right.
issue, whatever.
Here, at least in this county, I would assume across the state, we can go to our election board and our voter registration office. And if you're working for or helping a candidate, they will give you a copy of the list for free. Just
yes.
print it off and give it to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. So what we do is we teach people how to use these walking lists. A lot of places you can get telephone numbers along with the names.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to robocall these people to get them interested in your group. We use robocalling as a recruitment tool in our 912 group. There's a company in Portage County, Ohio, that does robocalls. Their information is on the website.
Okay.
And the website address is www.thevoicesplural.org.
Okay, thevoicesofamerica.org, okay?
That's correct. Now, we talked on the phone with Tea Party people in Utah in 2010, and we sent them to the website, and we said, look, this is how, because they have a caucus system, and a caucus system is smaller than a precinct, so it's easier to have influence in a caucus than it is in a primary.
Okay.
And we taught them how to do this, and they overwhelmed their precinct, or their caucuses, and got Bennett out.
Yeah, Senator Bob Bennett.
In 2010, in the primary in 2010.
That was good. That was very good news.
And it was all done at the local level.
So there is hope, but it takes dedication and it takes, dedication, I guess, is the main word. You can't give up.
There's no sense in sitting home and wringing your hands. You know, you got to get off your duff and get connected to a group and get out there and start working for candidates and working for issues. It's that simple. It's engagement. I mean, the Democrats are much more organized and much better trained in engagement than we are.
Oh, absolutely.
And
that's
what we're doing. We're in this big effort we're pushing here is to get people engaged. And we have to get engaged in the political process. Otherwise, we're victims.
Yeah, and the Democrats want more victims. And it's very important. And I said at the beginning of this year that this year would determine whether the Tea Party was successful or not.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we had a year, 2010, 2009, 2010, where there was a lot of activism, rallies, and all this stuff. And then there was the big win in November of Republicans thinking that, wow, there'd be a big change now. Of course, we haven't seen that. So I said that this year would decide whether the Tea Party would be the influence that they want to be, because conservatives have a reputation for, if you know, after a year or two, if they don't see change, they just pack up and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is great. I mean, because this gives people, frustrated individuals, an opportunity to learn how they truly can make an impact on their local level. And then like a ripple effect, it goes out to the state and the nation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this is fantastic. And I know that the Pennsylvania Tea Party is going to be bringing you and Peter in on October 9th.
Yes.
From 2 to 6. It's going to be at Adams Ridge Clubhouse, which is 100 Adams Ridge Boulevard in Mars, which is down around Pittsburgh, and about an hour and a half, 2 hours from here, south of here. So I encourage folks to go, because if you're truly interested in making a difference in politics, period, you need to learn what Warren's talking about. You know, you need to learn how to do that. And I found it interesting that the quote, you guys have this on your website, actually, from Robert Heinlein, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Heinlein.
I always thought he was just a science fiction writer, but he also wrote about politics.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote back in 1946, Take Back Your Government was the name of his book. It was actually based on his own experiences in politics. I never knew who's in politics, but anyway. But he wrote in the book, remember, at all times, the votes are in the precincts. Club meetings are primarily to arouse and hold together your volunteers. Rallies are for morale building, primarily and secondarily for publicity. It isn't hard to get adherence to your cause. Volunteer campaigns should not cost much. Elections are not won with dollars. Wow.
That's been one of the biggest problems we've allowed to happen.
Yeah.
As we disengaged from the political process, the parties figured out, especially the Republican Party, that we can win an election by collecting a lot of money from big donors and spending it on a lot of television advertising. Statistics say that a strong feet-on-the-street game can overcome any amount of money that's being spent.
In 2008, Obama's campaign was big bucks plus feet on the street.
Plus a decent amount of voter fraud.
Well, that's true, too. That is true, too. But we even had Obama people here in Little Venango County and in Franklin, which is just a small city. There were Obama people, Acorn folks, going door to door, hanging their little bag of stuff on the doorknobs.
Sure.
So they're very well organized. But as you're saying, conservatives need to learn how to do that.
Yes. And the sad part is there are a lot of surrogate organizations for the progressives, for the Democratic Party,
mm-hmm.
that are funded by the taxpayers, like Acorn's funded by the taxpayers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these these quote-unquote nonprofits that are funded by the taxpayers, and they're funneling money into the Democratic
Party. Getting grants, absolutely government grants. So basically, our tax dollars are being used against us.
Yes,
to destroy our nation.
A lot of these bailouts that Obama's doing, you know, we saw this solar panel company And I think eventually, when they investigate this, eventually they're going to see some of that money filtered back into the White House.
I hope they do that thorough investigation. I know that they're going after Congressman, Issa? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're in California, that there's a Soros-funded organization who's going after him on supposedly ethics charges.
Yeah, they're going to have to try to destroy him personally, because he is starting to hurt him, because they know he's kind of ruthless as far as examining these things and trailing everything back to where the money starts.
And that's fantastic. Follow the money. I mean, I've heard that forever. Follow the money.
Yes, that's true.
So, again, you and Peter Wolf are going to be in Mars, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
On October 9th, and the workshop is from 2 to 6, Adams Ridge Clubhouse, 100 Adams Ridge Boulevard, again in Mars, and it's how to learn how to organize precincts and learning about voter guides and candidate nights, and you have R votes, you're going to be talking about that. That's a new IT enabler for neighborhood precinct organizing.
Yes, that's a tremendous software package that allows activists to coordinate with each other across the county and across the state and across the country.
Oh, wow. Did you guys develop that?
No, we did not. The person that developed it actually developed it for a company. It ended up being owned by the Democrats in 2008.
Oh.
So the man that wrote the program left the company. He maintained the program,
mm-hmm,
rights
mm-hmm.
to the program, but he had to sign a 5-year non-compete. Well, during that 5 years, he's been updating it and modernizing it. Now we're using it.
Okay, good. Okay,
and that's available to any Patriot group or you know, across the entire country.
Right. Again, give us your website, and is that the best way to contact you, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, there's some tutorials, some video tutorials on the website. There is actually PowerPoint training on the website. It's quite an extensive website. If you search on precinct organizing in Google, we're the number one hit. And,
okay.
and we've gotten some pretty good, we've even gotten compliments from the Democrats.
Oh, well, good.
but the website is www.thevoicesofamerica.org.
Okay, and I do encourage folks to go to that website, because I was impressed with what I saw, and it's encouraging to know that there are folks like you and Peter who are concerned enough about the state of politics in America and about the America as a whole that you're taking time to educate us, who in too many cases have become complacent and just thrown up our hand to despair and shut our door and hoping it'll just all fix itself, and it's not going to happen.
I'd like to say before we end here that Pete and I go around the country training on this stuff, and we don't charge. We ask that our expenses be covered, but we don't charge. We've trained in Florida. We're going to be in Pennsylvania. We've gone extensively across Ohio. We're talking with some folks in Iowa. And like I said, we did the phone training with Utah. And we're looking to train as many people, as many organizations as we can between now and the 2012 election.
Okay.
So if you're interested in finding out more about this, go to the website, look at the website. It might be a little confusing because there's so much to it. But there's an email links for both Pete and I on the website, along with phone numbers. So if you like what you see and you want to get more information about it, email us or call us.
Okay, that's the Voices of America. In the meantime, you guys are going to be in Mars, PA on October 9th from 2 to 6 at Adams Ridge Clubhouse, 100 Adams Ridge Boulevard, again, Mars. If you want more information on that, you can go to www.pennsylvaniateaparty.com. That's the organization to bring you guys in. But again, your website is thevoicesofamerica.org. And thanks so much, Warren, for your time and for your, and thanks, Peter, for his dedication, too, because it's great and we need it, definitely need it.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.